With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL. Welcome in to the PFF NFL Podcast. Steve Palazzolo here with Sam Monson. We're live on YouTube on a Wednesday morning. It is your weekly bonus podcast.
Bonus show.
Going to see how the people like it. It's a little experiment to see how much people want more Sam and Steve.
Yeah. We're going to keep it a little shorter this week, though.
Yeah, we're going to keep it tight. We're going to hit on some. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hit on some.
Rundown, Steve. This is professional.
Rundown style, right? Some hot NFL topics. We're going to talk about PFF grading and weighting when it comes to how we do things as far as game situation goes. A lot of Steelers talk. Mason Rudolph, what should the Steelers do? Your favorite receiver, we're going to talk about him and his grade. Mm-hmm. And then the Panthers, are they better off with which quarterback essentially are they best off with? So
I left that in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We weren't going to do that, but okay.
Cut that out. We're not going to do that.
Well,
let's just answer it right now.
Yeah, but we have a timer. We got to keep ourselves on schedule.
All right, quick timer. Now, something happened this week that the people need to know about.
Okay.
For the Thursday pod,
yes.
For tomorrow. What are you doing again?
So here's the thing, right? You, in fact, this is your fault if you trace it all back to the origins.
Usually.
You got me reading the YouTube comments.
Yeah,
I was very against that for quite a long period of time. In fact, almost all of my existence. But you have got me doing it. And some guy said that instead of our, pre-show intro music that we have before we go live, right? Like hold music for the podcast. Instead of that, some guy goes, this should just be Sam singing Irish folk music, right? The next guy came in and said, I would buy Elite immediately if that happened.
Do we have confirmation like he's gonna pay the $199
for it? I am not above that. I will come in here and sing the Irish Rover if somebody's going to buy Elite off the back of it.
I like to think that you believe in our product so much that you would be willing to embarrass yourself just so that somebody could get a taste
of PFF
Elite.
What's going to happen. So I then posted it on Twitter. I was like, look, I'm just going to go so we say yes. So let's post it on Twitter. If enough people want this to happen, we'll do it. So I said, all right, do you want to hear me singing the Irish Rover to open the podcast? But we're not just going to go with, 51% yes, because frankly, that's silly, right? That's happened in the past to certain places and bad things are happening, right? So I was like, look, we're going to need at least like 65% yes in order for me to go with this. The poll, I think, closed at 77% yes. So apparently I'm doing this.
Wow.
But we decided we couldn't just drop this on people because like nobody wants that.
You got
to
tease it.
You have to at least know it's coming.
Professional
right?
tease.
So tomorrow, the preview podcast will open, instead of hold music, it will be me singing the Irish Rover.
Do you know how to sing? Are you good at singing?
Do you have
like a secret background where it's going to like you're going to actually be good?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, that's even better.
Right. I mean, the good thing is the Irish Rover is the kind of song where The version I know the best was sung by the Dubliners and the Pogues, and I don't know the either.
You'll have to send it to me so I can
I don't know
prep myself for what it's supposed to.
Well,
sound
I think what we need is Tyler piping me in like the music so I can at least keep on tune, so you'll hear it.
Oh, great.
You'll hear me.
This will be fun. So tune in to our next podcast for our week 4 preview, and Sam's going
to
sing.
Alternatively, skip about 5 minutes to the intro of tomorrow's
podcast. We
have
to make it an ad-free podcast so nobody's...
Alternatively, you know, skip forward a few minutes so you clear my singing in order to get into it.
Oh, we're gonna break records. All right, let's get into our stuff today. Of course, our weekly Stevenson Watch, for those of you just tuning in, the Dwight Stevenson Award is the award for the best player in the NFL. It'll be our highest graded player, our best player at the end of the season. Not the most valuable. So where are we now? 3 weeks in with regard to the Stevenson Watch.
3 weeks in, the familiar faces are starting to come to the surface.
As you predicted.
Exactly, right? 2 weeks in, they were bubbling below the surface, ready to explode. Week 3, they've started to come to the top when it comes to grading. So right now, the very best graded player in football, I believe, though I didn't actually cross-reference offense and defense, Tom Brady. Best quarterback, best grade. 7 touchdowns, no interceptions, flying along as old Tom.
And a rushing touchdown.
127 years of age, can't slow him down.
Yeah, he's been really good on a throw-for-throw basis. It'll get a little bit more difficult against Buffalo this weekend. I do expect Patrick Mahomes to rise up a little bit. He's had a couple turnover-worthy plays that'll offset. But people are asking about Mahomes. Why is he not as high with all those stats?
I don't think there's... Mahomes is the new Aaron Rodgers in terms of there's no more talented quarterback in the NFL. The things he can do is absurd, and he's doing them on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And the scary thing about him is there's negatives in there. Like, he's missing throws. There's some bad plays in there. If he weeds those out for a few games,
there's more.
Like, he's legitimately unstoppable at that point. You just forget about it.
He's
going to
throw for 6,000 yards.
He might do.
Who else you got so far on this?
George Kittle remains. He was on the list last week, I think. He's still playing absolutely fantastically. This 49ers offense is fascinating because they don't have the wide receiver talent that other good offenses have. They've stocked their talented playmakers in weird areas. So George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk had some crazy plays this past week. Like, that's where they're strong. And Kittle looks like the guy that's going to take over the mantle of the best tight end in the NFL from Rob Gronkowski, assuming Gronk doesn't get bored and unretire midseason.
Yeah, so Kittle's right up there. Brady... How about my boy Dalvin Cook?
Right, I thought you'd like that one.
Yeah, that's great. The people, if you thought I was crazy before the season when I tweeted out that Dalvin Cook, when healthy, is just as good as Zeke, or I said he was better than Zeke or Gurley. I was very aggressive. But through 3 weeks, I look really, really good. Listen, 3 weeks of football,
you might not be wrong.
I know I'm not wrong. Not even why I tweeted it.
Not even just looking good, you know, like, this is looking okay, right? You might be right, like legitimately correct.
It's a special running back.
He is.
As special as you can be as a running back.
We saw in college that he was good enough to overcome bad blocking. There aren't many players that are capable of that. When you look at college, typically great running backs go hand in hand with great offensive lines, and that's when they just wreck the opposition. But Dalvin Cook had a bad blocking offensive line for an extended period of time and still looked phenomenal.
So just comparing him to Zeke or Gurley, we've seen Gurley in a terrible offensive system in 2016 and not having good run blocking or whatever, and he averaged like 3.3 yards per carry. We've literally never seen Zeke in a bad system because he came out of Ohio State where he had plenty of room to run, and he's, you know, done a nice job with Dallas behind the best offensive line. So we just haven't seen him in that situation, which is why I like Dalvin.
Right. And I think the amazing thing is this Vikings offensive line is not playing particularly well right now. They're allowing pressure. I don't think they're run blocking particularly well either. But I think this scheme is a perfect fit for Dalvin Cook. We used to think of those outside zone schemes as that was the famous Denver Broncos one cut runner, right? You head to the sideline, you make one cut, you turn upfield, and you bust one, right? Dalvin Cook, I think the scheme has kind of moved on. Where again, NFL defenses, they're just too good to succumb to one cut and done. Like, you actually need to be able to make some moves beyond the one cut to make things happen.
Especially if they're not blocking well up front.
Right. So Dalvin Cook is now like the perfect outside zone runner for this scheme because A, he's fast enough to hit those holes when they don't stay open for very long. He's talented enough to get skinny through the hole if it's not a particularly large hole because the offensive line isn't good. And he's able to make insane moves, with the ball in his hand, sharp cuts, quick moves at the second level to make guys miss. He is the perfect running back for this system, particularly because that offensive line isn't great.
So those are a few offensive players on the watch list. How about on the defensive side of the ball?
Defensive side, Aaron Donald has worked his way onto this list after this past week against the Cleveland Browns. That game, the boss and NBC did a great job of highlighting, you know, what a wrecking machine this guy was. He's got one sack now, which is still in, why is Aaron Donald not playing well territory? But the number of plays they highlighted where it was just one man comes through the line, destroys things, blows up plays. He's been doing that all season long. So even though Aaron Donald only has one sack, he's got a ton of pressure. He's got a ton of plays against the run where he comes in and destroys things. He's playing really well.
Yeah, so Aaron Donald's there. We've got Khalil Mack, you know, couple forced fumbles, you know, helping his grade get up to 90.8. He's got 20 pressures so far this season. And then Calais Campbell, Jacksonville Jaguars, had a monster game.
He did. I left him off the list specifically because his grade is so predicated off that one game.
Right. But it's something to just keep an eye on. I'm going to throw one other name in the hat really quick.
Okay.
Jamie Collins from the Patriots. If you didn't even see his PFF grade and you said, okay, through three games, this linebacker has three sacks and two interceptions, just the raw stats, those are like when you, at the end of the year, defensive player of the year, you get this linebacker with six picks and eight sacks. I mean, he's on pace to do some great things, and he's grading at 89.8.
All right, I like it.
So there you go, your Stevenson Award watch. Stick with us every week. We're going to be updating our Stevenson Award and saying, you know, who the best players are.
Now let's get into my favorite topic.
Which is?
Terry McLaurin.
Oh, your favorite wide receiver.
Yeah.
What was our...
Now my favorite topic.
You know, we've been taking questions.
Yes.
And the people wanted to know about Terry McLaurin.
They did. It was just a general, you know...
Did you ask... Was this your burner?
It wasn't. No, it's not my burner. Though I might be I might have to resort to that, you know, over time. We'll see. Terry McLaurin is legit.
Yeah, he's really good.
So they... You know, we... Exactly what we predicted would happen happened in the Case Keenum regressed all the way back.
Oh, he regressed hard.
Regressed hard.
Yeah.
Regressed hard. Bunch of interceptions, bunch of terrible plays, turnover-worthy plays all over the shop. This was what was coming. You know, if you listen to the show, which obviously you do, you know, we said this was coming. He made a bunch of turnover-worthy plays that just weren't punished yet. Going up against that Chicago defense, this was kind of inevitable. But despite that, Terry McLaurin catches 6 of 8 targets for 70 yards and a touchdown. And the touchdown was a really nice play.
Oh, yeah.
He sets up his man, gets inside leverage, makes a really tight contested catch, holds onto it in such a way, knowing that he was heading towards the ground face first. You know what I mean? That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Your automatic instinct is like things go wrong when you are falling from a height face first into the turf, and yet he was able to hold onto the ball, maintain possession. He's now got a touchdown in every single game. He's got 5 or more catches in every single game, and he's got 50 or 60 or more yards in every single game. That was the kind of streak that Antonio Brown went on forever until it finally got broken when Roethlisberger went down and Landry Jones became the quarterback.
Just kind of showing up every week.
Right. It was that just permanent, consistent production that every single week he's the guy. And he's unquestionably their number one receiver right now, and teams are still not able to slow him down.
You know what I like? So from a grade standpoint, he's number 8 in the NFL, 82.9, and he has 3 drops on 24 targets.
Right.
Usually if you have that many drops, it's like, all right, that's going to crush your grade. So he's so efficient elsewhere, tied for 5th with 13 first downs / touchdowns, has the 3 drops, but still has a passer rating of 141.8 when targeted.
Right.
And he's been so efficient on his other plays that he's grading well.
Yeah. I mean, I think whatever about how the season it looks like it's going, given what just happened, but you should be really excited about him. I mean, he looks absolutely legitimate. Case Keenum's passer rating is 40 points higher than his overall passer rating when targeting McLaurin, which means it's significantly higher than even that when targeting anybody other than McLaurin. I haven't done that math, but let's just say it's 40 points higher than his overall passer rating, which is huge.
Yeah, it's a huge upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So you love McLaurin.
I love McLaurin. I think this Ohio State system causes guys like him to get completely underrated, right?
Him and Michael Thomas?
Yeah. Him and Michael Thomas. It overrates the other guy. So they have a system that sort of has this gadget receiver.
I got you, yeah.
That looks spectacular because he gets all the jet sweep plays, all the kind of dink short stuff that puts those guys in space, helps them take advantage of their athleticism and their run after the catch ability. So Paris Campbell was the guy everybody loved because he goes to the combine, he runs a 4.3, he made all these spectacular plays, and when you turn on his tape and watch his targets, he legitimately didn't run a wide receiver right at all. And when he did, it looked horrendous. Like right. he looked like he was counting the steps as he was running. Like it looked terrible. But everybody was really excited about him because of what that system made him look like. Plus the 4.3 speed, obviously. But then the other guy kind of gets overlooked because the star becomes that gadget player. And the guy that's just playing wide receiver kind of gets a little bit cast into the shadow, doesn't get as many targets as he should. So Michael Thomas came out and was dramatically underrated, was a first-round talent, went in the second round. Terry McLaurin comes out, I think was a first-round talent, went in the third round. I mean, I was telling you through the Senior Bowl, this guy was the most impressive player at the Senior Bowl, kept making plays no matter who he was up against. I thought he looked as good as a lot of the first-round players, and yet drops. So I think people should start paying attention to that system and looking at the wide receiver that's playing the position that gets overlooked.
Well, I think the way we isolated Michael Thomas is we started for those couple of years really tracking route running away from the ball and really isolating on that. And Michael Thomas was spectacular there. And McLaurin really caught our eye at the Senior Bowl when he had a bunch of one-on-ones. And you got to see how he runs routes, which, again, we keep coming back to route running and the ability to get open. That is the thing in the NFL. So that's how McLaurin's doing it right now. Okay, so let's just answer that Panthers question really quick. The question was, who are they better off with at quarterback? Cam Newton, Kyle Allen, or Will Greer? This is a tough one. Do you have an answer?
Kyle Allen or Will Greer?
I mean, Cam Newton, Kyle Allen, or Will Greer.
It's kind of going to sort itself out, right? Because it sounds like Cam Newton is dealing with a Lisfranc injury.
Yeah, but like...
just going to put him out for a serious period of time.
Yeah, I mean...
at that point, you will have a better idea of what exactly Kyle Allen is. You know, right now... he looked spectacular coming out of that game.
He looked really good.
He was really accurate, which is the single biggest thing that Cam Newton isn't. But I think it also just sort of showed how much of a drag factor Cam had become on that offense when he's not playing well. So Kyle Allen played well, looked really good, but we don't know if that's going to continue. So then I think by the time Cam Newton's ready to get back, we'll have an idea of whether Kyle Allen is a legitimate threat to him. And then Will Greer honestly looks so bad in preseason and the Senior Bowl that I think it's long-term development time for him.
Yeah, so he definitely looked poor. I mean, I just look at it the same way we look at the Steelers thing. Might not be good for this year, but having a long look at Kyle Allen or eventually Will Greer if he does get in there will help you understand some stuff, have some extra trade value. I don't know that you're going to – Kyle Allen's going to have to go on a serious run.
Right.
To at the end of the year be like, is it Kyle Allen or Cam Newton? I think it's Cam Newton. I think the Panthers are at this point where they have to start thinking, draft the next quarterback or look for the next quarterback, and Kyle Allen, you get to evaluate him.
The more interesting question around Cam to me is, should he take like a year sabbatical? Say, look, if I want to actually...
Cognito style?
Right. If I actually want to play deep into my career, I need to take an entire year off, get 100% healthy, and come back... like actually in the same condition that I should be playing in, as opposed to, sure, I can get back from this Lisfranc injury, play another few weeks, you know, not 100%. It's just every single year, he's clearly not 100%. And the longer he plays like that, the worse he's playing. I just think you either need a completely clean break or he needs to dramatically modify his playing style.
Interesting theory.
I don't know if it's the way to go, but it's something that probably needs to get discussed, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's that crazy. Yeah, I would say alter your playing style.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just throw a million passes and get that short area accuracy better.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Could do it. All right, let's wrap it up with some Steelers talk. We had multiple questions. What do you think of Mason Rudolph? How much should the Steelers panic? And then a question about Minkah Fitzpatrick. So, and how he played in his debut with the Steelers. So there's actually a lot to unpack here. They also just traded a fifth-round pick for Nick Vannett as a backup tight end.
Yeah, because Vance McDonald, rather, is hurt.
But they said it's not even necessarily because of him. They're like, hey, we just need better tight end depth.
Mm.
So the 0-3 Steelers are still playing it
right
legit
now,
here.
So Mason Rudolph was really bad last week.
He was not good.
Right now, there's a bunch of teams that are 0-3. The Miami Dolphins could actually have the number one and number two overall pick.
That's like, crazy.
If your logic was...
I think it's early, but...
Oh, it's definitely early. Look, the Steelers are probably going to win some games. They're too talented not to, but that game was a massive indictment of the decision to trade that first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick, and it had nothing to do with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Like, yeah. Regardless of how he played, the PR line that came out, you know, the official party line was, we had a first round grade on Mason Rudolph when he came out. We thought he was a first round quarterback, which isn't absurd because so did we, right? I don't hate that as a concept, but the idea that that was the reason. So he's our first round pick next year. We already have him. He's here. He's in the building. We don't need a first round pick
next
year.
That is the worst reason.
This is our first round pick.
Yeah.
That is horrendous decision making, right?
Right.
Because, okay, fine. You had a first round grade on him, but look what just happened. So you have no idea if he is the capable starting quarterback going forward. You might need a quarterback. This is the thing, right? We may get to the end of this season, and the ultimate takeaway from the Pittsburgh Steelers is we desperately need a quarterback, probably in the first round. And you just traded away that pick to get Minka Fitzpatrick. So it's just bad.
Let me make a parallel to that, too. Every time Khalil Mack forces a fumble, and Khalil Mack is a great player, you see the tweet, imagine trading Khalil Mack. Imagine how stupid the Raiders are for trading Khalil Mack. Let's set aside what they've done with the picks since that point. But we keep making the point that a pass rusher's value is high, but not as high as other people's other value. And trading Khalil Mack as opposed to paying him is not the craziest thing in the world. Because when you get that first round pick, it's not about the player necessarily that you get in place of him. It's also what you can do with that. So the value of a first round pick is so immense. Now you're the Chicago Bears. And if they're honest about their really, really nice roster, they have to say, look, the only thing that might be holding us back is quarterback.
Yeah.
So if they had that assessment, the same way the 2017 Jaguars should have been like, look, our defense is really good. We managed Blake Bortles all the way to the AFC Championship. If we upgraded here, that'd be smart. And they waited a year too long. If people were truly getting quarterbacks in the building year over year, the Bears would have had a first round pick last year. Maybe they're thinking about quarterback and saying that could be our weakness instead of, okay, we have to go in all in on Trubisky. You don't have to go all in on anybody in today's NFL. Keep getting quarterbacks.
Well, plus don't limit your options like that, right? Okay, let's say you think, look what the Cardinals did, right? They drafted Josh Rosen in the first round. They were seemingly confident that he could be the guy going forward.
Right.
And then it wasn't even as if they had written him off at the end of last year. Maybe it was, but their logic at least is that we took a look. We weren't even looking at quarterbacks. We kept seeing Kyler Murray from other tape and, wow, this guy's special. So, okay, we have a quarterback that we have confidence in, but this guy, he's just an upgrade. He's a generational talent, as they say. These guys don't come along very often, and we have an opportunity to snag him. We have to take it. We can't pass up that opportunity because the position is too important. Now, if you're the Steelers, maybe you did have a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph, but what if you end up in a position with a stupidly high pick next year because things unraveled around him, and suddenly you have a chance at like Tua, and you had him graded way higher? Like, that could be a thing. Sure, you might even be happy with Mason Rudolph. Maybe he plays okay the rest of the year, but if you find yourself in a position where you can get a guy that you have graded better, why would you throw that away earlier in the year for a safety?
Here's, I think, the way to look at it when it comes to quarterbacks. In the past, we've said, hey, you drafted Blaine Gabbert in the first round. You drafted Christian Ponder, EJ Manuel. We look at all these busts and say, LOL, you idiots. You missed on the quarterback. So I want to change the conversation a little bit and say there's value in getting a look at the quarterback. There's value in getting a look at him. Even with the Giants, with Daniel Jones, who we said was a day two player, they took him in the first round. There's value, even if we thought he was overdrafted. He looked pretty good so far. There's value in at least getting a look. I think the Steelers played it well. They had Josh Dobbs in. They got a look at him. There was a chance he could have been really good. You know, he ends up being, he's a pretty good backup, and then they flipped him. Mason Rudolph's the same guy. Now for the Steelers, no matter what happens with Big Ben, they're going to need a quarterback for the future. There's going to be value in that first round pick and getting the next quarterback in the building.
And you also don't really have a choice. Like, you have to, if you need a quarterback, you have to take a quarterback. And even if you're not in a great position to do it, you have to swing the bat at something.
Got to keep swinging the bat.
Right. So, okay.
So yeah, having Minka as your first round pick when you could be a 5-11 team, a 4-12 team, it could look really bad and for them and really good for the Dolphins.
This is like a perfect tank job situation for the Dolphins.
Incredible for the Dolphins. As far as Minka on the field, he had a good, not great grade. Mm-hmm. He had we just talked about Jamie Collins and all of his, you know, statistical plays.
Yeah.
Minka had a pick and a forced fumble. Yep. Really nice forced fumble on an open field tackle. The pick was tipped right to him, you know, whatever. That's
also
not really on him.
Hip tossed spectacularly by Kyle Juszczyk after the catch. Like, he went flying, like airborne. The kind of thing that would happen, you know, if like you tossing a small child is what it looked like. If you just if you snap
children.
One day, finally, you know, a little toddler walking by your feet and just went, that's basically what happened to Minka.
He missed two tackles. So that has been the issue. So Steelers fans, if you want to keep an eye on what needs to improve, so far through a season plus three games, he has 18 missed tackles. I tweeted out the other day, he only had 9.
Right. That was one of his missed tackles. And the term missed tackle, I don't think does that play justice.
Generous.
Yeah.
It's a generous term. So overall, 65.4 grade. It's about dead smack in the middle. Tackling grade of 41.7, which again has been the issue for Minka. Do the Steelers panic? Are they? Yeah. Well, I don't even know what panic means. I mean, do you just give up on the season? They're not giving up on the season.
You sit there in the building.
You got to go play football.
I mean, they have to be worried looking at how Rudolph played last week. They, you know, however reasonable he looked the week before, and it's like, okay, we can get through this. He'll develop as the year goes. We'll get better. We'll be okay. He was bad last week. Like he would last week would have eroded any confidence whatsoever you had in him being the guy going forward. Now, it's not saying he can't bounce back, but you cannot be confident in him anymore.
All right. Just to wrap this thought up really quickly, how much do we put into the 49ers defense have the number 2 coverage grade in the NFL so far? They played Tampa Bay. They played the Steelers there with Rudolph. Who'd they play week 2? Now I just lost my train of thought with the 49ers. Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So is it because they played Jameis, Dalton in a new scheme and Rudolph? We always say that the defense is dictated by the offense. Or are we going to look back at this and say, well, it was tough because the Niners coverage unit's been much improved?
I think the 49ers generally to me are still a, I don't know, team. I don't have the answer to that yet. We just need to wait and see.
Oh, great. So there you have it.
Thanks. It's great content.
Great content. Wait and see, guys, on the 49ers.
So I want to answer this one question quickly, and then the other thing I want to do is we have this live chat going. I've decided that we should integrate that into the show. So we'll do that right at the end.
Let me pull that up.
This question, I have a thing I want to talk about already. You don't even need to worry yourself, Steve. I got it. I'm under control.
Oh, just take it from here. So
we got a question from Dave Fortenbaugh, maybe?
Yeah.
Are plays graded by PFF with any kind of weighting system based on the effect the play has on the game? I'm thinking the sort of the... I don't even understand that sentence. Does PFF tag play with down distance yard? Yeah, yada. So down and distance, what kind of impact does that kind of stuff have on grades?
So down and distance has an impact on, you know, like picking up a first down is more valuable than picking up 8 on first and 10. So I would say down and distance only has value in that the offense is trying to achieve first downs and the defense is trying to stop that.
Yeah.
So that has an impact on how we grade.
We grade. Right? We do. Situational football is important.
Situational football is important.
So we grade things according to the situation.
However, in isolation, a 10-yard out on first and 10 is not different from a 10-yard out on third and 10, all other things being equal.
But even on like the offensive line, say, you know, the same block will have a bigger impact if it's 3rd and 1. You generate enough movement to get the running back through that gap than it does on, you know, 1st and 10, where you essentially get – there's no gap at the line, right? The running back plows into that, gets half a yard. It's a failure on, you know, 2nd and 5. But on 3rd and 1, that's enough to get that guy the first down. It could potentially get you a positive for that crease.
Yeah. So we're isolating the player as much as possible. And then, yes, we're not just like, well, Daniel Jones, game-winning touchdown, let's make it a +2 just because it was a game winner. We give some late game adjustments here and there. The context comes in when you go back and say, okay, what was Russell Wilson's grade in the fourth quarter, which is really, really high all the time. What was Tom Brady's grade on third down rather than inflating the third down? The context comes from when you break the grade up by situation.
So can I now dive into the chat room and give you some insights? So Fresh Stacks 228 says,
okay,
you guys have been wrong in more than half the games. The bald guy acts arrogant and says some of the most rude comments. His job needs criticism. He sucks. So first point I would make is we haven't been wrong in more than half the games. I'm like 30 and whatever it is on the record.
65%.
Right. I saw the record. The next guy replies, this is Super Guy. I assume that's supposed to be pronounced. Sam is only 80% bald. Don't disrespect him like that.
80% bald. I mean, you're 80% hair. right now, I'd say.
Well, I mean, I think that's what the point he was making.
Oh, okay.
You're an 80% of a full head of hair.
Yeah. Once you get to like real 80% bald, like just make it 100.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like I'm 80% bald or 80% hair, whatever way you want to put it, I'm already on the borderline of taking it all off. Like, yeah. I'm already right there. Like, it's not good.
Why do people... Oh, so this says Shannon has zero clue about PFF grade.
He meant over there, skipping Shannon.
Yeah, I'm over there like, poor Shannon Ford saying, over here.
I was like, what did Shannon do?
No, she's new to the company.
It turns out it was Shannon
skipping
Sharp.
Shannon, arguing the same thing right now.
All right, so we're out. We're done. We wrapped it up short.
I don't love that there's crossover between Skip and Shannon's audience and our audience, not going to lie.
Well, why don't you tell the people about it? You can get in the chat room and tell them.
It's not that I don't like you guys watching Skip and Shannon. Just
don't do it.
Just watch us. Much more intelligent over here.
Yeah.
Skip and Shannon I said that.
We're not judging. We're just saying don't ever do it again.
Well, thanks, guys. This is great.
So we're out. But tomorrow we'll be back with me singing the Irish Rover. So, frankly, that's what you need to tune in for.
We're going to set podcast records. Thursday, week four preview, plus Sam singing. See you guys tomorrow. Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and of course your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL.